How you doing back there? She's good. She saw them burgers yesterday, those that we thought was brisket, ended up being pork. Oh, my gosh. I had to hold such a cherry back. She wanted two or three of them there. So, but anyway, we enjoyed it. Had a wonderful time. And again, we welcome y'all today. God is so good. Those watching online, we love you. We miss you. We pray over your strength. Brother and Sister North are ministering today, and so I think they're going to be ministering over in Kennedale this morning, tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. So they've got a full schedule for themselves. But anyway, again, yesterday was wonderful, and we've learned, Sister Lydia, we know what to do even better next year, don't we? And so it's good. But thank every one of you that came out and made this possible. All right, why don't we just get into the Word here this morning and see what the Lord has for us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for your presence that's in the house. Lord, as we worship you today, I thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy to us. Lord, I just ask for clarity of mind, and the words that I speak would be what you would have me speak. And so I thank you for that today, Lord, and just ask God that it would touch hearts today. And Lord, as always, Lord, hide me behind the cross, Lord. I don't want people to remember me. I don't want people to even to remember this church, but to remember you today, Lord. And so, Lord, I just ask that your Spirit go forth and do its work today, and touching the hearts of your people to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 22 through 29, if you'll follow along. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart," talking about evil, "for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Title of my message today is Facing Your Giants. Facing your giants. And I think it would be fair to say that at the outset of this message that every one of us have faced giants in our lives, and some in here today may be facing one in your own life right now. And the one thing that I hope to do through this message is to encourage your heart today. Don't allow yourself to fall into a place of hopelessness and despair by looking at the giant. But just as Moses told Joshua back in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 16, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them," talking about the giants. "For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. and he will not leave you nor forsake you. Listen, whatever the giant... Hold on. Jesus' name. Whatever the giant in your life is this morning, I want you to know that you too can come out victoriously. Now the situation here in our text is that Israel has their first king, but we find they are fighting an old and persistent enemy called the Philistines. An interesting thing happens as the two armies are facing each other. We find the battle is set, and one Philistine champion decides, why do we need to go through all of this? Your army is fighting my armies, and a whole lot of different people are shedding blood, a whole bunch of men, and dying on the battlefield. Why can't we just have one of your champions step out and face me? And if your champion wins, then we'll serve you. But if I win, you all are going to have to serve me. And that's pretty much what Goliath says to them. The giant was menacing, and being almost 10 foot tall made him intimidating to the army of Israel. He was looking for somebody to fight him. There was King Saul himself, who was the tallest one on their side, and he was somewhere over 6 foot tall, and the rest of them were just 5 foot and below. And here's one big guy saying, come on, I'll fight whoever you send over. And so here is a guy now that is a giant facing those who are but average size, and they look at a man almost 10 foot tall. And David, as a little boy, sees Goliath as a pretty big giant. And the thing that you've got to remember is that the giants we face, when you first look at them, yes, they are kind of menacing. Our youth of today face giants in their lives that we did not even face in our young days. What was once considered bad, we know is now good, and what was good is now bad. And instead of school being a place where the values of family and faith were once fostered and upheld, the schools are now a place where those old-fashioned values we find are attacked. I can remember in my youth, although the school did not teach holiness as we know it, it once recognized God, and we honored our country, and we honored our flag. Every morning, I don't know if it happened in your class, but every morning we stood beside our desk and we put our hands on our heart as the Pledge of Allegiance was spoken over the PA system. And then we bowed our heads as prayer was made. Did y'all do that? Anybody? Yep, you sure? Now, sadly, when you say it's school time, they say the children are out of your hands. And unless you really care and are determined to know what your children are being taught and the giants that they are facing on a daily basis, you won't know the indoctrination then that is taking place today all the way from our kindergartner all the way up to high school and on into the universities. The family unit of a man and a woman and children, listen, are moved to the least of importance and in fact looked at as old school. And then an amoral lifestyle is promoted and alternative lifestyles are supported and pushed in our woke culture. The social media sites are flooded with pictures and stories of two daddies adopting children to be raised in an atmosphere that will pervert the minds of those children to never know what a true biblical family unit was meant to be. There used to be family time around the dinner table. Conversation was made, and there were no cell phones to contend with. We had that one hanging on the wall with a 20-foot cord in the hallway. And you could go to your room with it and shut the door and talk. We know times have changed with parents working different shifts, and the kiddos now are involved in sports that have, we know, crazy hours. And so we're looking at a whole different set of giants today. But yes, every giant is menacing. And when you look at your giant, you begin to think, how am I going to deal with this one? How am I going to get past this giant? And you got to know, I know what I'm talking about today. This giant Goliath in our text, not only was he tall, and when you look at even his attire, it talks about his helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and they say it weighed about 125 pounds, and with brass upon his legs, and the brass that was between his shoulders, and the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. I looked that up. It was 2.5 inches in diameter. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. That was another 16 pounds on the end of that spear. And then he had an armor bearer walking in front of him. He did not have to carry a shield. His armor bearer walked in front of him with a shield. And so to look at this would automatically cause one's heart to fail. But the next thing we know, David is thrown into a conflict then with the giant, and he wasn't thrown into the conflict through any act of his own. The truth of the matter is that when you go back and read the story, his father sent him with food to check on his brothers and bring back news of how it was going in the war. But the next thing was he found himself face to face with a challenge from the giant. You don't always go looking for trouble. How many know that? People talk about looking for trouble, but sometimes you stumble into it without even looking for it. All you know that is one day you look up and there trouble is. David went down then to the battlefield to check on his brothers. But while he was there, he heard the roaring of the voice of a giant saying, "Is there not anyone among these Israelites that will challenge me? Is there anybody that will come and fight me?" And then he goes to boasting about taking their carcasses, their remains, and feeding it to the fowls of the air. And in the same way, listen, the devil is constantly saying that you can't win, that I'm the one, and I'm the ruler of your health, and you're on my territory now, and whether you want to bow down or not, you're going to bow down eventually. And when the giants of this world get through telling us what they're going to do to you and me, and down in your spirit, sometimes it just seems like there is a want to tremble, and your spirit wants to really melt. And you start thinking, oh God, how in the world am I going to be able to escape this thing that's looking at me in the face intact? But I want you to watch this. Yes, David may have stumbled onto the battle scene, but he was ready. Look at somebody and say, he was ready. Because he went to the battlefield prepared. I'm going to tell you something. The best thing that you could do when going even into a classroom setting as an adult or as a young person, or even into a job setting, knowing that it's going to be a plethora of diverse opinions about culture and life as a whole. You need to know before you go into that room, you need to know who you are in Christ, and know that the Creator of the universe lives in you. Amen. And greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Yes, there are things to learn and have an open mind to through being educated in a classroom or even on a job. But there are also things that you will need to resist and have a closed mind to. Hear me now. You go into that with a made-up mind concerning your faith, and that it doesn't matter what they say, this is what I believe, and this is what I know. You've got to have your heart fixed on Jesus Christ. You may not be able to carry on a philosophical debate while you're on break on theology, or get around what they're arguing or the way they're presenting their stand. But the one thing I know that we can stand on is that God is real. And Jesus is real in my life. And the experience that I've had with God is real. And you can tell them. That tells me that there's no need then for me to be afraid of any giant that might come my way. Because I know who I am and I know to who I belong to. David came on the scene and said to his brother, "I'll fight that giant." And you would have thought that his brother would have said, "Well, great," because he didn't have the courage to fight him on his own. But we find that when David said, "I'll fight him," his brother replied, "There you go. I know the evilness of your mind. And you just want to come down here and be a show-off and think that you can do so much." And they kind of turned their back on him. And King Saul heard what David said about fighting this giant. Well, he didn't have anybody else that would fight him. So as he interviewed David, we find David responded by giving the king a little bit of his history. "Oh, king, I know I'm young now, but when I was younger, my father Jesse had me tending his sheep. That's my job. I just took off a few days just to come down here and check on my brothers, and I will have to get back to the sheep. But let me tell you, O king, that one night when I was tending my father's sheep, a bear came out of the woods and stuck his big old paw out and grabbed one of my sheep. He said, but let me tell you what I did. He said, I caught him with my own hand and I killed him and delivered my sheep." "Oh, come on, David. No, you didn't do that." "Wait a minute. I'm not through." He said, "Another time a lion came and tried to take one of my sheep. And you know what I did? I caught him by the symbol of his power. I caught him by his beard. And when I got through tearing him loose from my sheep, I killed him with my bare hands and delivered my sheep." David told his story then in such an effective way until I believe Saul said, "You know, boy, you're something else. You've got to have something within you." He said, "I tell you what, you better come here, take my sword. Come on, put on my garments, take my shield, and you go out there, you fight that giant." And so we see David tried to pick up the sword, and there he is, it's dragging the ground, and he picks up the shield, and he can hardly drag it too. "Well, king, I'm sorry, I don't know about this stuff. Here, take it back. Let me use what I have proven." That's what the scripture says. "Give me my slingshot." Here we go now. understand sometimes you've got to use what you have been proven to work for you. You have to use the gifts and the talents that God has given you. Don't waste your time trying to be somebody else. Be who God called you to be, and be the best you that you can be. Can you say amen? David said, I've not proven these things. Give me my slingshot. And then he walked down to the brook and he picked up 5 smooth stones. Well, why 5 smooth stones? Well, first of all, we need to understand that God can use you more effectively when he gets the edges off of us. Amen. How many know a smooth stone will skip across the water a whole lot better than one that has jagged edges? Have you ever thrown a little stone across the water and watch it skip? God can use you when he gets through shaving down that mind and shaving down all of those other attributes in our lives that really are not pleasing to him. Well, but Pastor, there's just some things that was inbred in me. I just speak my mind. That's just who I am. Well, I can understand that. But when you get Jesus down on the inside of you, guess what? He will change you if you will let him. He'll quieten the spirit that's within you, where you can speak when you need to. And you may not agree with this, but let me tell you, the Christian lifestyle is a learned behavior. It is a learned behavior. Yes, the Lord will save you, and he will sanctify you. But cleaning up our ways comes from us adhering to his principles of Scripture. It will transform us day by day on a daily basis. Listen, when you get saved, you can still do anything that you ever did. God does not take away your ability to do it, but he does take away, watch this, he does take away your desire to follow after those things. He takes away the desire to follow the crowd. Yes, you still have the ability to do that, but he takes that desire. And he gives you then a desire to live like he wants you to live. So we learn actually how to be a true child of God. And when God changes your mind and changes your heart and changes your attitude, every time you read in the Bible, it doesn't matter what the crowd is doing. If God says this is what I want you to do, then that rough edge is being smoothed out. He can work both ways. If you need tempering, guess what? He can do that. But if you are full of self-doubt and you're intimidated, he can remove that and he can replace it with courage and boldness that you might need. My sweet wife, in her early years, her testimony was she was afraid of man. She had been abused verbally and physically by people. But she promised the Lord. She said, Lord, if you'll take out this fear and replace it with boldness, I'll preach your word, I'll stand up. And if you were there at that time and remember hours upon hours she would spend on the floor laying before God, praying before service in the Sunday afternoons. I'd go home, take the kids home. She'd stay at the church. She'd pray. God took every bit of the fear out of her life. She was bold as a lion. David picked up 5 stones and he put one of them in a slingshot. The other 4 he put in his bag. Understand, the giant was named Goliath of Gath. This rock, if you can imagine with me, had Gath then written all over it. Have you ever wondered why it was five? Why five stones? In the book of Judges, we find out how that there were five lords that reigned over five capital cities. And they had the city of Ashdod and Ekron and Ashkelon and Gath and Gaza. These are all talked about by the various prophets throughout the Old Testament. And it so happened that Goliath then was the champion from Gath. But David knew that the devil fights dirty. He didn't know whether or not, after defeating the champion of Gath, that the Lord of Gaza then might send his champion, or the Lord of Ekron and Ashkelon and Ashdod, they might end up sending their champion. So he had four rocks in his bag just in case the others came. Can I tell you this morning that the Word of God that we have is our bag of rocks against the enemy and any giant that might come our way. It doesn't matter how many giants come our way. You've got a rock in your bag to hit them between the eyes with a death blow. Enough rocks in this bag for anything the devil will ever throw at you. And so here Goliath is ranting and he's raving. And every time the sun would hit that glittering spear, every time the sun would hit that coat of mail, I can only imagine it would be blinding in the eyes of David. But David faced that giant with courage. And this morning I want to remind us that we have to let the devil know, I don't know what you're going to throw at me this next week, and I don't care how glaring it comes. I've got confidence in my God. And he says to Goliath, you come with me into me with a sword and a spear, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. This morning, listen, it does not matter what else you might have with you in the natural. If you want the Lord with you, I want to remind you that you can meet every challenge head on if you've got the Lord with you. You can stand against every giant. Quit giving in to the enemy. Amen. He's with you on the job interview. He's with you when you know you've entered into enemy territory on the job or at that lunchroom. David said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And he wound up his slingshot, and God directed the rock to the giant's forehead. I love to read about Israel. And it's so neat because they've named so many of their weapon systems. And they happen to have one particular system that is called David's slingshot. And they've gone on, they named their missiles. One's called Jericho. One is called Samson. Another one is called the Gospel. And you can imagine when the gospel hits, it does its damage. You may not have nothing but a rock, but I'm here to tell you God will guide that rock to its target. Would you tell somebody, all I have is a rock, but that's all I need. Well, Pastor, you're talking about a rock. What good can a rock really do? Well, I'm so glad you asked. To get the significance of the rock, let's go to the scripture. I hear David saying in the 61st Psalm, hear my cry, O God, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And then over in the New Testament, when Jesus comes on the scene, he tells Simon, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And then I hear back in the Old Testament, Isaiah in the 32nd chapter saying, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as in a hiding place from the tempest, and a covering from the storm, and he'll be as a great rock in a weary land. And when I've got a rock, it simply means that I have Jesus. He's the smitten rock. He's the rock which is the precious cornerstone. And guess what? He is a sure foundation. Understand, all I might have is a rock, but that's all I need as I declare with my mouth that the giant I might be facing has to go. It cannot stay and do damage to me. You ought to tell somebody right now, I don't have my degree, but I have a rock, and his name is Jesus. When that rock smote Goliath in his forehead, we find the story says he fell down dead. And we see what David did. David runs over, gets up on his chest, and takes the giant's own sword and cuts off his head. And he goes through the camp holding up the head of the giant. I have to tell you something. I don't care how big your giant is. Face him with courage. Quit whining like somebody that's already been defeated. Hear me now. If there's anything the church needs, is that of a conqueror's attitude. We're not here to be whiners. God did not intend for us to be settlers. He intended for us to be overcomers in our faith. Quit giving the devil so much credit. Understand that he loves the attention. My Bible tells me I'm more than a conqueror. I have Jesus on my side. And with Jesus, I'm assured of victory. What then is the giant that you're facing in your life today? Is it depression? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it unbelief? Is it intimidation? Those are biggies. We know that come and they love to take over our minds. But understand then that we have been given the power over them, and we have a rock for each one of them. I understand that there are those things that we cannot conquer on our own. You have tried, and I have tried at times to try to deal with that giant on my own, but to no avail. But I want to remind you this morning that we have a great God. Would you say that? We have a great big God. We have a great good big God. He tells us in his word, if we need his wisdom, all we have to do is ask, and he's ready to give us his wisdom in any situation. Yet we know that there are those giants that love to make you think that they're untouchable. Well, it's always been this way. Things will never change. The doctor says it's not going to change. It's no use. It was this way with my dad and his dad. No, no, no. Those are all lies. Break that off of you today. Yes, they may be facts that the doctors are giving, but we stand on God's truth. Well, Pastor, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm a recovering drug addict. I'm a recovering gambler. I'm a recovering pool player. I'll always be those things. Listen, that's not what my Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells me, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Don't believe the lie that you'll never change. It is true, the giants that take hold of people's lives cannot be taken down in our own power, in our own strength. We can't break hold from the clutches of Satan. But if you've got Jesus in your life, then you plus God make the difference. You and God then are a majority in the fight. Those chains can be broken off of our lives. Those lies can be broken off of our lives. Depression can be broken. Oppression can be broken off of you and me. This morning, let's determine that you're not going to leave here the same way you came. Come on up, Brother Galen. Come on up, brother. Whatever has been holding you down, keeping you from walking in freedom, keeping you in a place of defeat, depressed and despondent, today is your day to be set free. It might just be simply wrong thinking, but it might be anger. It might be unforgiveness. Those chains on your mind, listen, can be and will be broken off today, but you have to make a decision that you want to be free of that. To let it go, to give it to God and allow Him to work in you. What needs to be done? I've still got some work in me that He needs to do and to work on, but He'll do it, and He'll do it in love. His mercy, the Bible tells us, is new every day. You've not gone too far. You can be delivered and be set free today. That oppression that's kept you down will be broken today. And this may have been the simplest of messages. We've heard this story of David and Goliath from childhood. I remember it way back in Sunday school, but I'm here to tell you, it's just as powerful today. It's just as relevant today as was when it happened. Jesus on the inside of us is our rock to defeat any giant that comes our way. He's given us every tool and every weapon that we will ever need to be victorious in our lives. We don't have to live beat down in our minds, wallowing in our self-pity. No, we have a way out. Jesus is our miracle worker. He is our promise keeper. He is our light in the darkest hour. He is our way maker, and He's ready to lead you out and become the victor that He's called you to be. Would you stand together with me today? His promise to us is weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. What is that giant in your life? You can leave today with a renewed peace. You can leave today with joy full in your life.